welcome to the first of what we hope will be many episodes of Simply Scripts Radio, where each and every week we will recap and review and discuss the goings-on at simplyscripts.com, as well as the Simply Scripts discussion board, where, you know, all the real creeps hang out. Before we get started, I'd like to send out my condolences to the family and friends of Dan O'Bannon, who is the one of the creators of Dark Star, Total Recall, and the original script for Alien. Just one of the great minds of our time and responsible for creating one of the most iconic monsters, at least of my generation, if not ever. So with that being said, I would like to start up with our panel. First member is Pia, and Pia will be discussing her topic of the week.
You mean ranting? Well, actually, Michael told me, you know, I should be talking about scripts. So, and if I had known about this a little bit more in advance, I would have picked a script to actually talk about. But I have been busy with the 7-week challenge. I've been trying to write 2 features for that, but it looks like it's only going to be 1 that's finished. But anyway, so I thought instead, I have been reading a lot, but they have been people from Simply Scripts, actually, but they are unproduced, and I don't feel like I should talk about them without their permission, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of like pre-posting online, you know?
Oh, sure.
I thought instead I could just mention that we have in the past, and we probably will in the future too, have the script club. And at the script club, we have discussed many different scripts. Sometimes we talk about a member's script, or sometimes we pick something out from the blacklist or unproduced or already produced scripts. And it's always fun to do, and it's always exciting to read and then also compare your thoughts to the other members. One particular script that sticks out to me was picked by Bert, who is one of the moderators at Simply Script, and I absolutely love him, and he's, he said, you got to read the script. It's fantastic, okay? So everybody said, okay, let's do it, you know? And then he posted it, and he was like, and I read about this script online, and everybody's like, not everybody, but a lot of people, they say this, oh, it's a masterpiece, it's a genius, it's a must read, you know? And I started reading it in like the first page, and you know, I hated it. And I don't know if it's my English, my education, I don't know, but I absolutely fucking hated it, you know? I do appreciate the guy's imagination, his fantasy, the world he set up, he was beautiful. Not beautiful, but it was very detailed, and I could see it, you know? But I didn't like the story, I didn't like the main character, and damn, it was a hard read, you know? I would even say that it's one of the hardest scripts I have ever read, that I have read to the very end. I swear to you, to me, it felt like it was a 2,000-page script. It would just never end. And I'm really sorry about this, and I understand that I probably come across as a complete imbecile for saying this, but you all educated English people out there, you can love it all you want, but yeah, that one was not for me. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think there's any reason for you to apologize for not liking something.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, I've had that happen to me, too, where someone, or even myself, where I've read something, and it just blew my mind. And then I would share it with somebody, and they were looking at me like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
That's how it
exactly
works. I mean, I followed along on the script club, at least on the discussion board reading. I didn't get a chance to get to the script, but, I was really surprised by the reactions because I had read a lot of good feedback on that. And that was Don, our gracious webmaster, who was chiming in there, who I will get to for a more extended interview later, which is, you know, actually we're kind of on topic with that now, so we'll kind of roll into that later on. I believe now that it is time for our next guest, our panel member, who is Jordan, and he will be discussing his topic of the week.
Hey, Mikey. So I guess what I have to talk about today would be I just went and saw Avatar at the 3D IMAX, and it was pretty fucking sweet. Probably like one of the most amazing movies this decade.
You saw it in 3D?
3D IMAX. And it was, they have a laser show first, but I can't watch that because I have epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to walk out and then come back. And the movie's almost 3 hours. And usually a movie that long, I usually go out for about 2 cigarettes. I didn't go out for 1 cigarette at all. And it was, that's how I usually rate a movie. Like, if I don't like it enough, you know, I'll go, if I get bored, I'll go out for a cigarette.
Don't you rate
movies? So you rate movies by how many cigarettes you have. So that was a 0 cigarette movie. So that's excellent, right?
Yes.
All right.
That would be a good way of rating. It's like, how many times do I walk out for a cigarette? Because usually, even like short movies, they're just sitting around talking. I'll go out for a cigarette.
So what do you do?
I like that idea. That's like Rotten Tomatoes. Go drain yourself. You know,
there you go.
From now on, we're doing cigarettes. How many cigarettes does this movie get?
Yeah. Like, and in the whole time, not one person got up to go to the bathroom. So you know, everyone's like into the movie. Like, no one left at all, and people cheered at the end, which was, I've never seen that before.
Wow.
Where people are clapping and cheering at the end.
You mean they were happy?
And
they were
happy. I don't know, because they're at my ass was sore after. But it was quite an eventful movie, and the special effects are truly amazing.
CGI is supposed to be basically industry changing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like these creatures look so realistic. Like, every detail, the skin, eyes. It had a real good story to go along with, too.
That was what I was going to ask, because, you know, it's like, I watched Transformers 2, and if you held a gun to my head and asked me what the story was, you'd have to kill me. I was transfixed the whole time between things transforming and Megan Fox's boobs. There really wasn't a compelling story to it. And that was the question although I'm going to go see Avatar, I'm definitely going to do it. I'm just curious as if there was also, between all the flash and bang and jiggly bits, was there a story behind
it? There is.
That?
There's like really, there's only one huge action scene. It's kind of like Titanic. It builds up and then the last 45 minutes is just gigantic action scene. So there isn't like a lot of action throughout. There's some chase scenes with the creatures where they're getting chased through the forest and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So is this like Titanic, where if it were actually released on VHS today, you would just take the first tape and throw it out?
No, because this actually has cool characters.
Oh, all right. You know, cause
it has more emotion, like these aliens, than probably 90% of like these independent art house films that are trying to manipulate here. These ones are like, it worked. So when like people got killed or creatures got killed, you actually felt bad for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought it was just...
I read the scriptment that came out 10 years ago. It was leaked to me from another website, and I just thought it was just absolutely amazing. And it actually floated online for a couple of years before Cameron got serious and wanted to actually produce it. And then they were sending out cease and desist all over the board. But the scriptment or the treatment of it, for me, was just absolutely captivating. I love the story. I thought it was a great story. So.
Yeah, and it definitely has ties to like Native Americans and, you know, how the Englishmen came over and just slaughtered them all just for land.
Lots of metaphors there.
Yeah, this one's not for land. It's for this mineral that is worth billions. And of course, there's a lot like Cameron, like James Cameron's Aliens. Like a lot of the stuff looks the same. Like the spaceships, the corridors, the machine guns. I like it though. It's not laser guns. They're using bullets. I like that.
All right, that's our timer, which you will probably notice is the Wilhelm scream. you know, just to try and keep things on track and, you know, let's say, okay, we're going to transition instead of, you know, my clumsy nonsense that I'm spewing out. Anyway, we're moving on to our next panel speaker, who is Michael Cornetto, and he will give us his rundown of what's going on the main page.
Okay, so since I basically ended up having to do this last minute, that basically I thought I'd cheat and just kind of go through the main page and tell you what's on there. And December was a pretty busy month. We had an episode of Soul Shadows, My Soul to Take, by Jordan, who happens to be on this call, and he did a really good job on that episode. Anyone should take a listen to this because I thought, out of all the iScripts that I heard for Soul Shadow so far, that this one was really the best. And we also had some other scripts uploaded, like the Blind Side script, It's Complicated, Where the Wild Things Are. Don's been doing a great job of uploading new things for us to look at.
I don't want to interrupt, but if I can jump in, this is a great season, mm-hmm. because what's happened is the studios, because we're in the run up to the award season, and all the scripts that you see online now, like, you know, It's Complicated, Blind Side, the studios themselves are hosting these scripts. They want people to read them.
Mm.
I don't actually host any copyrighted material on my site unless I have permission from the owner. Otherwise, I just link to it. But what happened was about 5 or 6 years ago, I think it was Warner Brothers who had uploaded a script, it got a lot of attention. And now it's almost you have to, if you want to be in contention for best screenplay, mm-hmm. Adapted or otherwise. It's got to be online, and people got to read it.
Okay,
buzz is important.
Cool. That was interesting. Speaking of important lists of scripts, the Blacklist was out for 2009. With the biggest surprise for me on that was that Balls Out was on that list. I just somehow never suspected that would be on the Blacklist.
Yeah, no, me either. Yeah. I was really surprised by that.
Surprised.
But the other thing, but one of the things, I think one of the reasons, again, this is one of these things where if you post it online, people will come. One of the big things is the guys who wrote it, they wrote under the pseudonym Robotard 8000.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually two guys, Tim Talbot and Malcolm Spellman. They wrote it, and I suspect that they wrote it as a lark.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Posted, posted it on.
They certainly
did. They posted it online, and they sent the link out to all their friends.
Uh-huh.
And so, as a matter of fact, in my update on the Blacklist 2009, if you scroll down, you can actually read Balls Out.
Mm-hmm.
And really? And what's funny is what a coincidence, Pia. Inside joke there. But one of the things is that I wasn't going to read it, but I read Mystery Man on Film's review of it, and mm-hmm. he said, I found this script to be a vile, degenerate, 107-page piece of crap about as witty as a maggot-infested corpse, but only half as intelligent.
Uh-huh.
And after I read the review, and then he had, of course, the link on there to the script, I was compelled to read the script. So it's one of the things where, you know, bad press is actually good press. I mean, his review was so scathing that I was compelled to read the script.
Right.
Which I found enjoyable on a certain level.
Yeah, they certainly had a very good approach to marketing the script. And it's definitely a lesson to any screenwriter out there who wants to get their script on the Blacklist.
But it's got to be, quote, good.
Is that the Black Balls list?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that really struck me is weird with that script, because there was a discussion going on about it for a week or so when it was first released, was so many people were going on about it being unfilmable. And after I read it, I mean, I laughed a lot, and there was a lot of asides and things like that in there, but to call it unfilmable, I don't know, I didn't agree with that. I mean, it was essentially a very basic story when you boiled it down to, you know, what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And as I understand, a lot of the blacklist scripts, when they come out, are actually already, you know, in either pre-production or people are serious about filming a lot of these.
Oh, I think that's mostly a prerequisite.
Remember last year, though, that was the one that was I Want to Fuck Your Sister? Remember that? We did that on the script club. And, you know, I seriously doubt that nowadays anybody's going to make a movie that sort of hails Wall Street Raiders. You know, I think that one is just, you know, not going to show up anytime soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, we have a little bit of a lull here, so we can actually move off of the main page and onto the creator of the main page, who
main
is
man.
Webmaster Don. Don, this is what now, the 11th year of Sibling Scripts?
Yeah, we're going on the 11th year. The 11th year anniversary will be in this is the 10th year. So, yeah, we're in the middle of the 11th year of doing this. Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you initially started the website, I know it was just mainly scripts that were out there, I think produced films and things of that nature, or stuff that was by
right.
studios. It took you a while to get into the unproduced portion. I mean, what was your main reasoning for wanting to start the website in the first place?
Well, the main reason was that I love reading scripts, and so I was finding there's lots of websites out there that had links to scripts online, and so I was kind of just keeping track of them, and then after a while I started to realize that I was finding stuff that was online, and I was also willing to put up stuff that were, you know, just portions of scripts, and I was also into radio scripts at the time. So basically, initially, what I was just my list of links that I put online, and then I started getting feedback from folks, and so I kind of cleaned it up a little bit. And then after a while, people would say, oh, by the way, this script is online, that script is online, and then suddenly I was getting a lot of stuff where folks were sending me links to their own scripts that were unproduced. And so the first couple were just I thought terrible. And then I read one that was really compelling, the name of which escapes me at the time, or at this time. But, and so I started to actually host unproduced scripts that people submitted to the site. And my rationale was that, you know, that ideas are great, and you get them down on paper, and I wanted to give anyone a chance. And there's good things and bad things about it. You know, the good thing about it is you get a lot of people who submit their work. The bad things is you get a lot of, for lack of a better word, bad scripts. And after a couple of years of doing that, I finally figured out how to get a discussion board up, because I thought that those folks who wrote, you know, who had great ideas but just weren't getting them down on paper well, that maybe the internet community can kind of help them to refine their ideas so that they could have something that was presentable. And so I started a discussion board, and once the discussion board started up, it really took off. And most of my time is actually spent on reviewing and you know, going through and uploading the unproduced scripts that are presented by folks. And then for me, the biggest thrill that I got was, and this was about, I don't know, 7 years ago, was that someone asked me to take their script down because it had been optioned. And I don't know if it ever got, you know, actually filmed, but I suddenly realized that this was a great place for people to, and the intent is to showcase your script and to get some feedback on it, not necessarily to sell it. But it was kind of a thrill and it still is now when I see someone's work that they've written suddenly appear as a moving picture. And it's one of the reasons why that, you know, if anybody has had anything that they've written that's been online and you can read it and it's been filmed however many times, I love to showcase that. Because, you know, you read a script, you have one idea, you see it on screen, it's different. And I love to see different interpretations of scripts.
Mm.
Yeah, I noticed there's a lot of people that are, you know, as far as things get made, you know, and they're letting, you know, student filmmakers or, you know, budding amateurs trying to GoPro and things like that, you know, they're a little leery of letting more than one person use the script, you know, and my opinion is, you know, why not? I mean,
I have a few questions for Don, if possible.
Sure.
How much do you read and how much do you write?
I read more than I write. If you'd asked me this about 10 years ago, it would have been more writing and less reading. And now I don't write as much as I used to. I do tend to read a lot. I get a lot of submissions. And I try to read as many as I can. And then obviously, and you guys all know this, is that, yeah, sometimes something squeaks through. You know, and I read like the first page. I check to make sure there's the end on the end, and I post it online. Only later to discover that, you know, the first page is a script, and then there's 15 pages of "fuck you, Don," and then there's the last page of script. You know, and it happens because I do try to be responsive and get these things out as quickly as possible because, you know, people are looking to see them online. But I'm not writing as much as I used to.
I'm still waiting for the Space Stallion.
For the Space Stallion.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these things where I'm kind of leery of publicizing which of the scripts on the site are mine. One, and two. One thing you'll notice is that I very, very,
you
very
have
rarely
scripts on the site.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, that's a very long-standing rumor.
Yeah,
that has actually just been confirmed on our radio show. Yay!
Yes. Whoa! Exclusive. And the other thing is that people will notice that I very rarely review scripts on the site, and it's actually I do that consciously. I will when somebody submits something, if they're completely bonkers or whatever. I will review their work and I will give them suggestions and links on how they can clean up the formatting and, you know, and kind of get their ideas in a readable form. You know, I'm not a super stickler for formatting, but I think that the screenplay format is important so that you can eliminate the noise and get your story across. And so anyways, getting back to why I don't review a lot of scripts on the site is that I had actually in the past, probably about 7 years ago, I was pretty good about it. And then what happened was is I just my email box just filled up with, why don't you review my script? And I was given the impression it could have been. But I was given, you know, I didn't want to give people the impression that I was some kind of studio mogul, and I try to downplay that. It's, I'm just like you. I'm a peer, you know, who's written a bunch of scripts. I want them to get noticed. I want some feedback, and I want to, you know, to sell them and make $1 million. So I always try to downplay the fact that on the site, you know, if a script has been picked up, this is not, it really has not really a lot to do with posting your script on the site. It has to do with the work of the writer. I think
you're doing a great job. I really do. I don't think there's anything out there that's even close to what you're doing.
There's other sites like Trigger Street, and what's interesting is like Trigger Street and Zoetrope, and there's another one out there. What's interesting is actually I was one of the first sites to actually post unproduced scripts, and these guys came by and I'm not saying that they got the idea from me. I'm not claiming that, but
these guys like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, they do it in a different way, and there's certain constraints on there. And on Simply Scripts, it is a free for all, and you can get burned. You can put a lot of effort into it and not get anything out of it. But any of the scripts that really have been produced off the site has really had really much less to do with the site than it has to do with the tenacity of the writer and the writer sending that script out and facing rejection. And I try to emphasize that because, yeah, for anyone who's listening out there, if you post your script to Simply Scripts, you're not going to get discovered. You're not going to make a bajillion dollars. You know, you've got to put in the effort to do that. And the most important thing is to refine your work. and put the effort into the work and try to not think too much about the marketing of it.
Which is, you know, a good point because the marketing really sucks. at least everything that I've gone through in that regard, it's a lot of very, very tedious stuff that I would much rather spend my time creating. We've got a few minutes left here. I would actually like to ask a question for Don because you brought up an interesting point about how you used to review scripts, and I mean, the majority of us, I assume, were unproduced work. Moving over into the produced side, what are your thoughts on the current Carson Reeves, John August, you know, script shadow is basically bringing down Hollywood theory?
Yeah, I kind of dipped into that. For me, morally, I've got no qualms to putting up a link to a script that's already been produced. If a script has yet to be produced, or not yet, if a script is in production, I kind of have a hard time about posting a link to it wherever it may be, because my concern is that people are going to read the script and it's going to sour them to going to see the film. Myself personally, I'm really kind of ambivalent about it. I generally speaking, if the script has just been purchased in the early part of the production phase, and someone sends it to me, I'll read it. But I certainly wouldn't post a link to it until it's really, you know, until it's farther down in the production cycle or it's actually already out in theaters.
You know, Don, I have to say that I do applaud you for that, because that article along with something else actually changed my mind too, because us people who do try to write and stuff, I mean, just put yourself in the writer's situation.
Exactly.
Or whatever, you know, your script get trashed before it even comes out as a movie.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't want to be part of that. So on my website, I deleted the page that had movie scripts because I had access to a lot of really hot scripts and I used to put them up there. But I have deleted that page because I decided that that's not right.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that if the movie is already out in theaters and the script is available, the best example is the movie Stepmother. It had Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon in it, which the movie had I had no interest in that movie at all. And I was bored one day and I read the script and it made me cry. And I actually, after reading the script, I actually took my wife to go see that movie. And for me, that's a classic example is that almost never have I read a script and then not either gone to see the movie or rent the DVD. I mean, I can't think of one time that I've read a script and said, I am not going to go see this movie. And Pia, to your point is that you don't, it's not fair to the writer to the director to have their movie based upon a bad review of a screenplay. And in many cases, you know, where you see, the screenplay is one form of literature, and it can be really enjoyable. But when it translates to actual visual images, it can be completely different. And in many cases I've seen that, where I've read a script that I thought was really great and see it visually and it just didn't do it for me. And the other way around, where I've read something that's really humdrum and have gone to see it in the theater and it's just knocked my socks off.
Yeah.
So.
All right, and I'm getting the messages that it is time to close things up. So with that being said, I would like to thank Don for being our very first guest, Pia, Jordan, and Michael for providing excellent panel work, and Kevin McLeod from Incompetech.com for creating the music that we're going to be using for our opening and closing song. Going forward, if you manage to make it this far into the telecast, and you broadcast, and you would like to suggest topics or maybe even be a guest on the program, please feel free to send an email to radiosimply@gmail.com. That's all for now, and until next time, keep on typing.